and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, of course, the views of our guest. And today, why, of course, our guest is Lynn Marzulli, who's been with us before. And we're going to talk about the background of prophecy and politics and how these two things are blending together today. And Lynn, thank you very much for being with us on short notice this afternoon.
Thanks for having me back on, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be here.
Well, now, of course, Lynn's written a wonderful book, and we'll tell you more about that later. But there's so many things that are happening today in the Middle East, in the Near East. And remember, the Near East, that's where Israel is. The Middle East is over there where the Iran and Iraq are. And, of course, there's so many things that are happening over there that almost appear to be carrying out the plan that was laid out 2,500 years ago by the ancient prophets. Is this just coincidence? Going along with that, the idea that we're moving towards a time when we'll neither be able to buy nor sell unless we have some sort of a mark, and we know there are all sorts of people that want us to have implanted chips that, of course, would have all of our biometric material on it. We see, of course, the return of the children of Israel to the Holy Land. We see so many things that are truly prophetic in what's going on today. So why don't you pick up the story there, Lynn?
I'd love to. Thanks, Dr. Stan. The subtitle of the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, is The Coming Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. And I think the churches and most people who kind of look at what's happening don't realize, and simply they don't realize, because they're stuck in one sliver of time. What I mean by that is, I'm chasing 60. I'm like 57 years old. I'll be 60 in 3 years, 2.5 years from now. So my scope, what I relate to is pretty much my generation. And the only way I can find out, let's say, about World War II directly is to talk to my father, who's a vet. World War I was my grandfather, and I have some of his memoirs. But after that, the trail goes cold, and all I can do is rely on historians and the books that I read. What I'm trying to get by that is that we're stuck in the space-time continuum, and we enter in at a sliver of time. And most people, it's very difficult to understand that the Luciferic agenda has literally been going on since the time of Paul. When Paul writes that the mystery of iniquity is at work, this is almost 2,000 years old, he's penning this phrase, the mystery of iniquity is already at work, the mystery of lawlessness. And what we see is the enemy has an end game. The Bible talks about it very specifically in the books of Revelation and certainly Daniel and Ezekiel. But he has an end game. And the reason why prophecy is so valid today, and we can look at it and should look at it with the utmost of interest, is that God, who dwells outside our space continuum and is not like we just seeing a sliver of time, is seeing the whole of time, and that continuously. So he sees all points of time simultaneously, which is why the prophetic word in the Bible is 100% accurate 100% of the time.
And of course, one of the big problems in the church today is they don't spend that much time on prophecy. It's not what they necessarily want to be talking about. They'd rather talk about other parts of the Bible. But yet almost a third of the Bible is prophecy, and it was put there for a purpose so that at this time in history, at least from my point of view, we would be able to anticipate what the future holds. And our guest today is Lynn Marzulli. We're going to be talking about this whole idea of the tie-in between what is happening politically and what we are told would happen prophetically 2,500 years ago, and yet so many of these things are unfolding today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon again is Lynn Marzulli. Certainly, Lynn is a minister. He's, I guess, 57 years old. He's written a fascinating book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We're going to be talking more today about politics and prophecy and how these things are tying together. But, of course, you can't understand any of these things unless you understand that there is a Luciferian end game, as Lynn says, that is being played out today, and the last thing they want is for Christians to see clearly what's going on. And yet, of course, Paul had written about the mystery of iniquity that was working at that time, and 2,000 years later, why, of course, we're coming closely to the fulfillment of all of these prophecies, which people at Paul's time recognized would happen, but never before in all recorded history has there been a time where you would be able to number everybody. They'd never either be able to buy or sell. Yes, they wore the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. Never before have the children of Israel returned to the Holy Land. Never before has there been an independent state of Israel. Never before have all the nations of the Near East and the Middle East been aligned against Israel the way they are today. And I can see coming down the line very soon a terrible, terrible genocidal war for people on both the Arab side and the Israeli side. But, of course, the one thing that's a consolation is God does have a plan. So pick up the story there, Lynn.
He certainly does. And unfortunately, before the second coming of Jesus or Yeshua, when his feet touched the Mount of Olives, which has been prophesied, and I believe in that literally. I believe when Jesus returns and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the thing will split in two. I literally believe it, or I believe that prophecy is literal. And one of my prayers is if I'm around, I hope to see that in real time. But before that moment happens, the Bible speaks of this time called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's that seven years of tribulation. And, you know, Daniel speaks of it also. The book of Revelation speaks of it. And we have other prophecies, specifically Ezekiel 38 and 39, which may be a prelude, if I can use that word, to the 7 years of tribulation. What we see is with the rise of Israel, with the rebirth of Israel, with the gathering, the regathering, the gathering of Israel through all the countries of the earth and reestablishing their homeland in 1948, in my opinion, Dr. Stan, that causes the prophetic clock to begin to tick. And what we see now is this constant vitriol from the Muslim world. And make no mistake about it, it is radical Muslim, radical jihadist ideology, which unfortunately there's not too many middle-of-the-road guys who are standing up and condemning these acts. But they, the radical jihadists, the radical Muslims, are literally...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Lynn is pointing out the fact that the radical Muslim, the radical jihadist, are literally at war with Israel. They're intent upon its destruction. And you're talking about literally millions of people over there who are willing to become suicide bombers, or send their children to suicide bombers, anything to disrupt the state of Israel. And, of course, if we're sitting on a time bomb over there, our government is doing everything they can to undermine Israel. People will tell you Israel's running our government. And that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, because if Israel was running our government, they're doing a terrible job, because our government is repeatedly putting pressure on the Israelis to give up more land for peace, and every time they give up land for peace, the level of tension increases. And the United States is funding the Palestinian terrorists. Why would we be doing that if of course, we're already being run by the Zionists? And, of course, this is part of the misconception They're trying to confuse the American people. They're doing a great job. They can't see the forest for the trees. Pick up the story there, please.
Well, we've talked about this before, Dr. Stan, but what I find just gets really unconscionable is the fact that the Palestinians were given a homeland, and that homeland exists today, and it's actually called Jordan. 75% of the population in Jordan are Palestinian, and that's what they would call themselves. And that before the turn of the century, there was no such thing as a Palestinian. In fact, when you really look at the history of Israel, there was no latter rain in Israel, so the country, for the most part, was denuded and really uninhabited. And if you want to find out about that, you can read books by Mark Twain, but there's other people and other historians who have pointed that out. Here's something that the American press doesn't tell most Americans, that in the span of 5 years, from 2000 to 2005, that's what my information from my source, there are 23,000 separate terrorist attacks against the nation of Israel. And that number is not overestimated, and I'm not exaggerating, and that number is well documented. There's a book by a rabbi in Israel, and it discusses how the Torah prophesizes this last day's Muslim insurgent against Israel. In 5 years, they have had 23,000 terrorist attacks. And what's amazing, I'm on the Debka file, this is today a news story, and of course we know that Israel has set up roadblocks, and Palestinians are complaining about the roadblocks because it creates sort of a hassle for them to get back into Israel and to work and the kids to go to school and all this. Of course, what no one realizes, or what the press doesn't tell you, and what the Palestinians neglect to say, is the moment these barriers go down, before they go down, the reason why they were erected in the first place was because the suicide bombers were undetected, and literally hundreds and hundreds of Israelis were slaughtered by homicide bombers. So what is Condoleezza Rice does, she gets over there and does her little ridiculous tap dance, and the Israelis agree to dismantle key roadblocks east of Ramallah. Wait and see, mark my words, within the next 2 weeks, we are going to see suicide attacks and bombers come across exactly from that area. And this is the kind of absurdity that the Israelis are under. I mean, if we had 23,000 terrorist attacks in this country, we would seal our borders, and we had one terrorist attack, 9/11, in this country, okay? And what did we do? We immobilized all of our troops, went into Afghanistan, and took them out. Well, the Israelis have had 23,000 separate terrorist attacks in their country in 5 years, and yet we go over there, we handcuff them. The United Nations is constantly saying, you can't do this, you can't do the fence, and every time Israel strikes, which is exactly what the Palestinians want, all the newspapers carry it, and look at the Israelis, they're ganging up on the Palestinians. Meanwhile, thousands of rockets are pouring across from Gaza. My sources indicate that Al-Qaeda now has an established base in what was the Gaza Strip and is now under Hamas rule, that soon Hamas is going to take over the West Bank. So now Israel will be surrounded in the north by Hezbollah and Hamas on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. So the situation, as we can see, is on my opinion, it's like a just boiling water. It's slowly reaching ahead, and the thing is going to froth over, and when it does, in my opinion, all hell is going to break loose. And of course, I believe that this is what Ezekiel has prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we are going to see those things, I think, in the not-too-distant future.
And of course, the thing is that the leaders of Hamas are threatening actually to just round up all the Palestinians, send in 1 or 2 million as a human wave, just simply to overrun Israel's defenses. Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to sit there and have, you know, several million Palestinians march into their country? Or are they going to start mowing them down? Certainly this is what they did against the Veterans March in our nation's capital back in 1933 and 1934, when the veterans were marching on the White House to demand the pension they'd been promised, and they just shot them down like dogs. Unfortunately, they did that. What will Israel do? I think that she's going to have to fire on the Palestinians, and a lot of innocent people are being manipulated into this, and largely encouraged and funded by our own government, which is funding the Fatah, funding Abbas over there. Why would you fund a terrorist like Abbas? Well, why would you just be funding communist China and communist Russia today? It's the oldest game in the world. The best enemies money could buy, but of course it's totally destabilizing the situation over there, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, for instance, when you look at the modern nation of Turkey, which for the most part has been, even though it's mostly Muslim, and it's a secular, supposedly a secular Muslim state, we can see that radicals are in Turkey, and the whole idea of Turkey joining the European Union is just, in my opinion, is never going to happen. The region is so destabilized, and the fact that we're in there in Iraq, we've basically gone in and kicked over the hornet's nest. You know, people make a case, and our president makes a case that, you know, we either fight them over there or fight them over here. You know, the bottom line, in my opinion, we have gone over there and kicked over the hornet's nest. And of course, Dr. Stan, you know that I believe that this is all part of a Luciferian endgame. Babylon is in Iraq, which is why you need to look past what seems to be the status quo of just going over there and getting rid of Saddam and terrorists. What it really is about, in my opinion, is Babylon. The ancient city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt. The entire nation of Iraq was once a Hashemite kingdom. Hashem is the uncle of Mohammed. The current Hashemite king is the king of Jordan. By the way, there are no Jews living in Jordan. It is forbidden for a Jew to live in Jordan. Interesting. And yet the Jordanians are always talking sort of detente, and the new ruler, King Abdullah, has addressed the UN and other world bodies. He's very articulate, very westernized. In my opinion, when Iraq becomes so destabilized, which what are we seeing now? This is like 5 years into this crazy thing, and they're still having problems at Basra with, you know, Muqtada al-Sadr. What is going on? I mean, this thing is being run so ineptly, with all due respect to our hard, you know, fighting men over there. This thing is being run ineptly. Why is the Mahdi army raising its ugly head 5 years after the fact? And what they're going to need is a strong man to come into Iraq. And in my opinion, this whole thing has been set up for that strong man to come back into Iraq. Because remember, the king of Jordan, the Hashemite king, before they were deposed in a coup by the Ba'ath Party, used to rule Iraq. The Hashemite king, King Abdullah, is one of the few in the Muslim world who has sort of clout. He has great respect from both Sunni and Shia. So I would say, and I'm kind of, you know, just throwing my hat into the ring here, but watch in the not-too-distant future some sort of a constitutional monarchy being set up by King Abdullah, and then giving the northern part of Jordan to the Palestinians for their, quote, homeland. And of course, if that happens, we have seen a Luciferian dialectic, or what I believe is the Luciferian endgame, unfolding right before our eyes.
Well, of course, there's a lot of talk about where are the Saudi's army, the Mahdi's army, getting their weapons. Where did all the militants get their weapons? Where did the Al-Qaeda get their weapons from? We sent over 200,000 rifles and sidearms to the Iraqi army, and they all disappeared. Now, how could you possibly lose 200,000 weapons? I mean, you know, if 100,000 rifles take up an awful lot of space, the American government claims they have absolutely no idea where they happened. They just all disappeared. Does somebody think they're buried in the ground? No, of course. They're what's being used by the Mahdi army. That's what's being used by the Sunni militants. It's what's being used by the Al-Qaeda over there. We've created the best enemy money could buy, but we can't let the American people know that. Just as during the Vietnamese War, when we were pouring massive amounts of money and equipment into Russia, and they were pouring massive amounts of money and equipment into North Vietnam, and North Vietnam was supplying the weapons that were used to kill our boys in South Vietnam. People cannot get this through their heads that it's the deja vu all over again, creating the best enemy money could buy. Why would anybody want to do that? Because we wanted to stabilize the Middle East and the Near East, because I believe the major force behind so much of what's going on in the world today, it begins in Washington, D.C. and in New York, with the people who really run our country at the Council on Foreign Relations headquarters, the Harold Pratt House at 5868 Street. I've been there. I've been through their files. They are dedicated to the destruction of America and the establishment of a world government. And also, of course, we get into the background of this, we find that there are powerful spiritual forces that were there when this organization was first created. And remember that the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society that was created in 1891 by Cecil John Rhodes, and then came to be known as the Round Table. And if you doubt that, you need to get Professor Quigley's book, Historian, taught at Princeton, taught at Harvard before he went to Georgetown University and met his most famous student, a man named William Jefferson Clinic. But in that long-suppressed book, Tragedy and Hope, a History of the World in Our Time, which we do carry. Why, of course, on pages 951 and 952, Professor Quigley tells you where the Council on Foreign Relations came from. Condoleezza Rice comes from there, Colin Powell. Every Secretary of State comes from the CFR. Every head of the CIA, every head of the Federal Reserve System, whether it's Democrats or Republican, they all came from the same little clique, which, according to Professor Quigley, pages 951, 1952, is a front for a secret society called the Round Table. Well, then you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, you said a mouthful there, Dr. Stan, touched on a lot of points. But again, what we see is that there is a mystery of inequity. There's a Luciferian agenda. There's a Luciferian endgame, a satanic cabal. There's a group of people on this planet that are here right now, and they know whom they serve, and that person is Lucifer. And they do that willingly and knowingly. There's not many of them. I mean, I've never met them, per se, but I believe that they're here. They're awaiting the rise of the Antichrist, and they're waiting for the actual indwelling of the spirit of Satan to actually come into that son of perdition, that man of sin. And I believe that we're in the period of history that the Bible speaks about where we're going to see this manifest. I outlined in the last segment a possible scenario for that, with the idea that perhaps King Abdullah of Jordan may be a candidate for that, although he's not indwelled now. He certainly could be a candidate later, because as a Hashemite king and once ruler of Iraq, where the ancient city of Babylon is located, why not rebuild that city? Why not make my capital in that ancient city of Babylon, fulfilling those prophecies? So we're living in a time frame where the satanic forces know that their time is short. They hate Israel, they hate Christians, and this is why, of course, we see the rise of this radical jihadist, which, you know, and I'm not mincing words here, and I'm not going to mince words, but there are no moderate Muslims. I don't see moderate Muslims standing up and decrying the heinous acts of the suicide bombers against Israel, or what is happening in Darfur, or the genocide in Kosovo. And by the way, now that Kosovo has been taken over, it is now a Muslim state in the heart of Europe. So, you know, the whole thing with Serbs and Croats, once again, the media throws us this little obfuscated curveball, and most Americans have no clue as to what's going on over there. Well, you know, Kosovo used to be a Christian, a bastion of Christianity. There were cathedrals and churches and an enormous Christian population. And this whole civil war has been because the Muslims have fought and now won Kosovo as an independent state. And it is not a Muslim state like Iran, but it's a secular state like Turkey. But everyone who lives there, or most everyone who lives there, is Muslim. So we see this rise of radical jihad. For instance, the movie Fitna, which came out last week, causing great amount of chatter on the internet. And what people need to realize is that it almost looks, in some of the comments I've read, it sort of looks like a jihadist video on one of the jihadist sites, because what all they're doing is showing the violence of Islam. And you know, we're trying to create a dialogue here. Hey guys, if it's not violent, then why 9/11? You know, why all the suicide bombers? Why the atrocities in Darfur and on, and the Bali bombing and on it goes? I mean, what is the deal here? If Islam is such a religion of peace, where are the moderates? Why haven't they stood up and condemned these acts? And of course, when you hold your feet to the fire and you ask them a simple question like, do you agree that Israel has the right to exist? They won't answer it. They won't answer that question. They can't answer it. You pin them right up against the wall, because most Muslims do not want Israel to exist, which is why when the 9/11 atrocity happened in this country, the 9/11 terrorist attacks happened in this country, there was dancing in the Arab street. And it's that way for a reason, because the United States and the Muslim world is the great Satan, and Israel is a lesser Satan. So we can see, I mean, we look at prophecy, and we see it unfolding before our eyes.
Hold that thought right there, Lynn. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lynn was simply talking initially about Kosovo, this new independent state, a Muslim state in the heart of Europe, in the Balkans there. But what, of course, most people don't understand is the reason that Kosovo became a Muslim state was because the United States backed the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Movement, which was a radical Al-Qaeda-supported Muslim movement. Why would the United States be backing that organization in Kosovo, the Kosovo Liberation Army, and a similar man? We were backing the Muslims associated with Al-Qaeda in Bosnia in 1995. People can't put this all together. Nothing as it appears to be. The United States is firmly behind the independence of Kosovo, establishing this independent, radical, jihadist Muslim state there in the very heart of Europe. Why would the United States be financing that? Unless, of course, things are nothing as it appears to be. So pick the story up there, Lynn, because, of course, I agree with you that we face a terrible threat today, and the average American has no idea what's going on.
There is no doubt in my mind, Dr. Stan, that, and I write about this in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, that there are dirty nukes or live nukes already in the country. The southern border remains unprotected. It remains porous. Who knows who is coming through and what is coming through, not to mention all the contraband and the war on drugs. Why? I mean, Dr. Stan, let me put it to you this way. If you and I or I were actually elected, God forbid, into the government, one of the first things I would try to do would be get the fence actually built and stop messing around. Not even addressing the terrorists, just because of the amount of dope and poison, literally, that comes through the southern border. You would think that if our government and our country really were concerned about the war on drugs, that's the first thing that they would do. But obviously, it's billions of dollars in big money, so we see that the southern border remains completely open. I think they have like 35 miles of fence built. I mean, it's just a joke. And this is now how many years after 9/11? And yet the thing continues. So what about the dirty bombs in this country? I believe it's a two-prong attack. I believe when the radical jihadists, radical elements of the Muslim world go up against Israel, they will come up against us at the same time. And much like Katrina, we'll have between 2 and 20 Katrina-like scenarios on these shores. I pray to God I'm wrong, but I believe that these things are here. They know exactly. They're waiting. They're abiding their time. It's a two-prong attack. The moment they feel that they can take us out and take Israel out at the same time, they're going to pull the trigger and let it go. And, of course, Dr. Stan, you read my book. I believe that this triggers supernatural events unlike anything the world has ever seen. Jesus himself talks about those supernatural events, men fainting from fear of what's coming on the earth unless those days were shortened. There'd be no flesh left, that even the elect would be deceived. Paul talks about it in 2 Thessalonians when he says that Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. When you put the package together, when you take all these scriptures and you tie them into Ezekiel and Daniel and the book of Revelation and Jesus' own words in 2 Thessalonians, we can see that the picture before his second coming is very, very bleak. And yet, in Jesus' own words in Luke 21, he says, when you see these things coming on the earth, lift up your head. He's not telling us to despair or to build bomb shelters and run away and hide, our heads in the sand and cringe in fear. He's saying, lift up your head, because your redemption, in other words, his second coming, is drawing nigh. And that's a message of hope for Christians. But unlike, or very similar, I should say, to the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, who were not aware of the first incarnation, were not aware of the visitation because they did not know their prophecy. And Jesus holds Israel collectively responsible for knowing that prophecy. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you did not know the day of your visitation. And he's speaking specifically and referring back to prophecy in Daniel, which talks about from the time of the rebuilding of the temple to the Messiah comes, will be so many years. And Jesus rides in on Palm Sunday. What was that, 3 weeks ago? Palm Sunday. And for the most part, the church is completely unaware of what Palm Sunday really was, how Jesus was fulfilling that prophecy, coming and riding humbly on the back of a donkey. And that's why he says, even the stones will cry out when the Pharisees tell him, tell your disciples, tell the people to be quiet. Jesus says, you don't get it. They don't do it, the stones. And I believe, Dr. Stan, I know it sounds crazy, but I believe literally if the people had not done it, I mean, he's kind of making a joke here, but the stones would have cried out. Because here's the Messiah coming into Israel. Here's the Anointed One coming into Israel, And for the most part, Israel is blind to it. How much more of the church today?
Well, I fear that an awful lot of the church is very blind to what's going on today. And people don't ask yourself, you're faced with a terrorist threat. Well, the first thing a logical person would do would be to seal our southern border. I mean, certainly all the, not only the illegal aliens and the drugs, but, you know, the nuclear weapons and other means of biological and chemical warfare could be being smuggled into our country. Why do our leaders steadfastly refuse to do what's logical? Are they stupid? Do they not believe that there's a terrorist threat? Or are they influenced by powerful spirits or forces which are keeping them from doing what is logical at a time like this? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Lynn, you go right in, pick up the story. But of course, this is the one thing that that many times people never want to think, even think about. That many times that people, whether it be Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini or American leaders, do things that are irrational. It's because they are certainly under an element of control themselves, and they are not doing what would be logical to pursue the goal that they ordinarily wouldn't anticipate. In other words, I believe that the Lord or Lucifer can actually influence people and keep them from doing it. And of course, in the final analysis, it's all God's plan anyway. Lucifer is, he may be an evil and wicked angel, but he is still God's wicked and evil angel and subservient to him.
How true, how true. Dr. Stan, I want to kind of leap back a little bit to what we talked about just a few minutes ago, the fact that Israel reestablishes their homeland. Here's a prophecy that most of the church isn't really familiar with, and it's one that is just so pregnant with meaning and should give us, and any skeptic, it should give us an answer for the skeptic, and it's certainly something we can point the skeptic to, and even, you know, people who have been in church and aren't really too familiar with prophecy. This is taken from Amos. It's chapter 9. It's verse 14. I just want to read this real quick. I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. So there can be no doubt that we're talking about Israel. I'm not talking about anybody else but my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. We know in 1948 and before that, in the early part of the latter part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century, when the migration of Israel began to happen, we see the latter rain began to happen for the first time in almost 1,800 years. The rains began to come up again. The earthquake stopped. The hordes of locusts stopped. All these supernatural events that I believe were by the hand of God were stopped, and Israel was gathered from the four corners of the earth, reestablished in their homeland. And according to what I read here, that this is the Lord's own words, the Almighty's own words. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them. So, folks, you are listening to this, and I can tell you, I rest assured that Israel will never again be uprooted from that land. So Hamas and Hezbollah and our friend Ahmadinejad in Iran and the rest of the crew, the nations of the world, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, will come up against the land of unwalled villages. But God Almighty will intervene on behalf of Israel, and Israel will not be uprooted from their land. It's just
hold that thought. Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Lynn Marzullian. Lynn, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how to get to your website, how to get your publications, how to get your book?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Stan. You can go to the website, www.spiral, like a DNA spiral or a spiral staircase, spiraloflife.com, spiraloflife.com, or you can call 310-457-5564, 310-457-5564. When you go to the website, you can also sign up for our monthly newsletter, which we just sent the one out for March. We're gathering information for April. It doesn't stop, and we bring you interviews. This last month, we had a great interview on the Shroud of Turin, from Dr. Wanger, who's really an expert. He's a Sindologist who's been studying the shrouds for over 30 years and has just some fascinating information which newsletter readers can get. So you can sign up for the newsletter, and of course you can buy a Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, spiraloflife.com.
All right, fine. And of course, it's an excellent book. We recommend it. And sometime maybe we could do a program on the Shroud of Turin. Do you think it's real? Do you think it's questionable? Do you think it's a fraud?
I think it's the calling card of the Lord. I really do. I've been an amateur symbologist for about 20 years, and I was always bothered by the carbon dating 14. And of course, when all this just came out recently in the last few years, that the carbon dating is actually flawed, and it's flawed because it just drives me crazy. It's like they have the shroud, they've got the best scientific minds in the world, they have their protocol, what they're going to do, they're going to take three separate samples from three separate parts of the shroud, okay, in a control sample, divide those up and send them out with the control sample to three different labs. What do they do? What do they do, Dr. Stan? They take one sample from one area of the shroud. And guess where the sample was? It was from the burned area from the fire from the 15th century. Recent study under electron microscopes has shown that the Poor Sisters of Clare, who mended the shroud after the fire, did almost the impossible. They created end-to-end splices in the fibers. So the seams, the repair job, where they actually took the sample, the carbon dated, is almost, you can't see it with the naked eye. But what they realize is, of course, that this would skew the shroud's carbon dating. And it's exactly what it did, which is why it came in as and the people say, well, it's a medieval forgery. The more you get into it, you realize that it's actually a holographic image that's produced on the shroud. It's certainly not a painting. It's a holographic image. You can take one fibril of linen, a piece of a linen from the shroud, and encoded in that fibril, that little small piece, is all the information of the shroud. When you photograph it and create a holographic image of the shroud, the Jesus' forearms, which are hidden in a regular photograph by the blood, by the blood stains on the shroud, all of a sudden are revealed, and you can see for the first time the entire forearms. So it's not a painting. The thing, in my opinion, it's, and actually other people who have looked at it, I believe we're seeing an imprint, a blueprint of the resurrection, where the body slowly dematerialized in a million or tens of million simultaneous points of light, which left the impression on the shroud.
Well, I think whatever it is, certainly even to this very day, with all of our sophisticated technology, nobody can be absolutely certain how this was produced. So it was almost as if it were produced in a supernatural manner. Well, let's get back, of course, to our description of what's going on today. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But as you look and see things unfolding, as you look and see, what's happening there and how the nations are lining up, and you go back and you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, why, it's almost as if this was all laid out 2,500 years ago when Ezekiel was writing. And certainly you've looked into that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the amazing similarity between what was written then and what is unfolding today?
Thank you, Dr. Sinnott. I'd love to. 2,500 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel penned this scenario, which is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And by the way, Ezekiel 37 talks about the regathering of Israel and being reestablished in their homeland. So that prophecy, in my opinion, has been fulfilled. Ezekiel 37 is fulfilled. We see that the dry bones that Ezekiel saw have now been raised up from the dirt or from the dust from the desert, and flesh is on those bones. And that's exactly what happened in 1948. When Israel was reestablished in their ancient homeland. But what we see now is a confederacy of nations, which the vitriol from some of those leaders, specifically Assad and Ahmadinejad in Iran, we have Hezbollah, all the saber-rattling from those people and others in the Muslim world. We see that this confederacy of nations is lining up very specifically with that Ezekiel 38-39 prophecy. And to me, it's chilling, because I believe that we're in the window of time in which we're going to see this prophecy fulfilled. And I just find that it's unnerving in the sense that it's, if we are living in the time, what is going to follow may be the most horrific nuclear exchange that the world has seen to date. But here, this is right out of my book, and I get into a very in-depth Bible study, if I can use that word, and I hope so, in Ezekiel 38, and this is from verse 5 and 6. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands. And what I write then is another group of nations are listed here. Persia, as I had mentioned, is the country of Iran. Ethiopia and Libya have the same modern names as stated in the prophecy. Gomer is eastern Germany and Poland, while Togarma could correspond to Turkey, Yugoslavia, and Romania, / the Balkan states. And I continue from there. But the bottom line is, Gog and Magog, and most people believe that Magog, and certainly there are different opinions of this. Some people believe it could be Turkey, but for our purposes, I'm going to say it's Russia. And what we see now is the former Soviet Union with the likes of Putin and what the Soviets or what Russia basically in bed with Iran, supplying Iran with missiles, with technology to get them on the in the nuclear club. And that's the first nation that's listed in this prophecy, the second being Iran. Now, 50 years ago, you would say, well, Iran's not even factoring into this. What are we talking about? And yet, in our present day, we see that Russia is now in bed with Iran. We see these other countries, such as Ethiopia, such as Libya, and other countries. Specifically, we can look at the Sudan. All Muslim countries, by the way, they are going to go up against a land of unwalled villages. It's no doubt in my mind, and this thing's going to happen soon. Hezbollah has declared with the in the aftermath of the recent assassination of Mugnaya, who, by the way, was a terrorist, who was responsible for countless lives being lost and murdered. This guy was a mastermind, and we're not sure who took him out. I think the last time we kind of touched on this, Dr. Stan, it may have been the CIA or MI6, but the Israelis have backed up and said, hey, we didn't do this. Well, Mugnaya was assassinated by a car bomb in Damascus, and now the 40 days of warning are coming to an end, and Hezbollah has almost declared an open, all-out war. Their commander there, Nasrallah, has declared pretty much an open, all-out war with Israel. They are armed to the teeth. Al-Qaeda is in Gaza and perhaps in the West Bank. We know that Iran supplies Hezbollah through Syria. Damascus has been saber-rattling with the likes of Assad, and on it goes. It's just a question. It's not a question of if, in my opinion. It's a question of when. I have sources in Israel who are saying that the IDF, the Mossad, the whole crew has been on high alert, and that some people are saying, watch out for April 20th. Watch out. Now, am I prophesying here? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that some of my sources are saying that they believe we could see a major conflict in and around the 20th of this month. So I pray to God that they're wrong and that somehow this thing is forestalled. But God's word doesn't lie to us. One thing he can't do is lie. And we know that the prophecy is there and it's never been fulfilled. And I believe that it's going to be fulfilled in our lifetime. I believe the stage is set. And I believe that the player, the main players are in the wings or in their roles on stage already, and this thing is going to come down. And when it does, I believe it's going to trigger, and we talked about this before, Dr. Stan, it's going to trigger supernatural events that the world has never seen, which will cause the great falling away spoken of in 2 Thessalonians.
Well, of course, if it were a supernatural event that was designed by God, you would anticipate that it would draw people closer to him. But certainly we're told that in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that before the man of sin is revealed, there will be a great falling away of Christians. And people say that couldn't happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is happening today, as we see Oprah Winfrey and Larry Flynn and so many of the people, actually Larry King, actually drawing people into this alternative type of religion. They call it worship of the Christ, but it's the Christ, it's not Jesus Christ. And of course, the secret is popularized by Rhonda Burns. All of these things are aimed at drawing people into the occult and occult worship, and of course, putting themselves into communion with the dark spiritual forces. And actually, of course, if you analyze what people are told, they're told to concentrate on what they want through the law of attraction, they will be able to get it. I was with a spent a few minutes talking to a woman just yesterday who told me her sister was into the law of attraction. And she wanted to lose weight, and she lost weight, and she wanted men to be attracted to her, and men are attracted to her. And she thinks this thing is really working. And I said, well, it really is working, but of course it is because she's tapped into truly Luciferian forces. Until people understand that this is what is being pushed on our television today, this is what Larry King and Oprah Winfrey and Jim Carrey and Ellen DeGeneres are pushing, this is being pushed on every means of communication and even within the Christian church, drawing people away from Christianity and into a personal relationship with the prince of darkness of this world. Go ahead, Lynn.
And of course, Dr. Stan, this is part of the, you know, the Luciferic agenda. It's just not one arm or one leg of the octopus or the hedge or whatever analogy you want to use. The bottom line is it's many tentacles. It's multifaceted. He's not putting all his eggs in one basket. So we see this whole, you know, like you mentioned, the whole New Age thing, and that is constantly drawing people away and out of the church. And there's power there, and of course, the power is demonic in nature, but people receive power, they get what they want, which, by the way, is the hallmark of the Satanic Bible. Do what you will, do what you want to do. In other words, my will be done, not thy will be done, which completely contradicts the whole Gethsemane theological pillar that we stand on. Not my will, Lord, your will be done, what Jesus says, and of course, as his disciples were told, and we strive to do that. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. Well, this is, of course, is the reverse. This is the Satanic Bible, which says, you know, do what you want to do. My will be done, not yours. And that's the whole purpose of this rebellion, this whole cabal of men and women. They believe that Lucifer can win. They believe that Lucifer can actually overthrow this weak and puny God. And that's why these secret societies have lasted and have been continued through literally the last two millennia. And they will continue until this man of sin, the son of perdition, this Antichrist, this beast, rises out of the nations of the world and assumes his power. And of course, I believe that we're going to see supernatural stuff that we've never seen before, the likes of which we've never seen. And it's funny, it's like you can't have a real dialogue with people in the church about the most prodigious supernatural event, which is ongoing. You can't have that conversation because most people look at you like you're crazy. Of course, we're speaking of Dr. Finn, you know. There's a whole UFO phenomenon. There are 10,000 of these things sighted per year, and it's documented. 5,000 are documented through MUFON. The people at MUFON estimate at least another 5,000 go unreported because people don't want to be ridiculed. And it's like every week now, if you'll notice, not every week, I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit, but it's more in the mainstream media. Just this last week, there was this whole big uproar on the internet. What's this thing? It's over the skies of California. It looks like a drone. Is it military? Is it UFO? No one really knew. And of course, this comes right after the wake of the Stephenville slap in Stephenville, Texas, which, by the way, I interviewed one of the key eyewitnesses who saw this thing, and it was a mile-long craft in this man's estimation, a mile long. We're talking a mothership. This isn't a little 30-foot, you know, disc that just skips around. And this is the big deal. And the bottom line is, from my study and the people I talk to and things that I read and letters I get from different people, the thing isn't going away. In other words, the UFO phenomena is not going away. When you link all the cattle mutilations, crop circles, so-called alien abductions, and then the sightings, when you put that all together, what is manifesting on the planet is this so-called alien presence. And this, what I believe, will be the coming great deception. When the church will be this great falling away, because Christians will believe the lie, and the lie is simply this, that we were genetically manipulated by extraterrestrials 30,000 years ago. You may call me crazy, but this morning I was listening to some tapes from the Art Bell Show on 640 KFI Los Angeles real time. They were rerunning an older show, and they had this guy on. It could have come right out of my book. He was promulgating the alien gospel, believing that eventually they will show themselves, probably after some sort of a nuclear exchange in the Middle East. He didn't say Middle East, I'm adding that. But he believes that there will be some sort of a nuclear exchange, and then they will reveal themselves. And this is precisely what I believe is the Luciferic endgame, the alien agenda. And the church, for the most part, is sound asleep about this and has no idea of what is manifesting and what will manifest openly in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I think it's important that Christians understand that these are not aliens from another planet. These are demonic manifestations of the supernatural realm, which is not imaginary. It's really very, very real. And, of course, I read publications like Share International that is put out by the Luciferians, and they will tell you quite openly that all of these things, these wonderful manifestations, foretell the coming of their Christ, not of Jesus Christ, but of Maitreya, who is, of course, the Imam Mahdi of the Muslims, who's the Messiah of the Christians, who certainly is the Maitreya of the Hindu, and certainly... every major religion is waiting for their leader to come. And, of course, the Muslims are waiting expectantly. They think the Mahdi will be coming on earth very, very soon. And that is, of course, what this common being is. I believe, of course, he is the Antichrist, who is being promoted, is being groomed, ready to come forward. And I think it's only a matter of time. And if you read the Luciferian publications, that's exactly what they say. And yet, of course, if you read Lynn's Christian book, he thinks the same thing. Only, of course, he recognizes that this is not the Christ, not Jesus Christ, but a terrible, terrible counterfeit. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, our guest today has been Lynn Marzulli. His book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And, of course, you can get that by going to his website, spiraloflife.com. That's... think of the DNA chain, the spiral of life. What's the telephone number again, Lynn?
It's 310-457-5564.
One more time.
310-457-5564.
And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Lynn, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Really appreciate you having me on, and it's always a pleasure to be here. But... I just want to say that, going back to that prophecy which we discussed today, Amos 9, that I encourage your listeners to crack open their Bibles and take a look at Amos 9 and see how that prophecy is written. And it's very specific. It's not vague, not something like Nostradamus. It's very, very specific, and says that, you know, once I gather you back into your homeland, you will never again be dispersed or driven from that homeland. So 1948, 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of diaspora, the latter rain never falling, the Israel, or the nation of Israel, plagued by locusts and earthquakes, no real human presence per se until the latter part of the 19th century, when the rains begin to happen and all of a sudden the Jews begin to be regathered from the four corners of the earth. And in 1948, prophecy is fulfilled in Ezekiel 37 when we see that nation restored in its former homeland. And now what we see is that the vitriol from the Muslim countries are determined to come up against the land of unwalled villages, so eloquently described by the prophet Ezekiel 2,500 years ago in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I believe the stage is set, and we are looking, and it's going to happen, I believe, soon, in the not-too-distant future, where we're going to see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which will then trigger supernatural events that 2 Thessalonians warns us about.
Well, I think really what is so exciting is the realization that war is imminent in the Near East, and it will spread into the Middle East. When that war comes, there is no military possibility that Israel is going to survive, with literally 50,000 or more missiles aimed from Hamas and Hezbollah and Syria and Iran and other areas, other regions there. The missiles are going to be raining down on Israel. There is no human way that Israel will survive. But, of course, as a believer, and Lynn is a believer, and I'm a believer, I think we're going to see a manifestation of truly supernatural protection for Israel. What are your thoughts?
I agree, Dr. Stan. I think that the prophecy tells us that God himself intervenes, and I think we're going to see that. We're definitely going to see that the hand of the Lord move like it moved in the 67 war. Where Israel really should have lost and they didn't. Miraculous things happen. So they will never again be driven from their homeland.
And I think it's so important that we begin talking to people and pointing out that God is going to intervene. Well, if God does intervene, perhaps these people will begin changing their attitude. Either that or Israel will be destroyed, and I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, God bless, Lynn. Thanks so much.
God bless you, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just talking to Lynn, and certainly we both agree that war is imminent in the Near East. If the war does come, there is no way, militarily or humanly, that Israel can survive the 50,000 missiles that are aimed at it. But, of course, Lynn and I both agree that God is not going to allow Israel to be destroyed, and so there's going to have to be supernatural intervention. And I think it's going to be an exciting time to see God's hand and to recognize that this is God's hand. And just as I believe God intervened and brought Israel into being back in 1948 and has intervened in the subsequent wars, specifically the war of 65, 67. I mean, you can see God's hand in everything that's happening, and I think we're going to see it in the events that are going to be unfolding very, very soon. Well, of course, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, and of course, maintain our almost 60 outlets every week, and of course, the shortwave and internet and satellite and radio stations, but at least we have a voice. Not as large a voice as I'd like to see, but it's as large as God's allowed us to have. And so we just sort of accept that. And as time goes by, perhaps we can expand even further. But right now, we want to maintain what we have. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get some of the material we have on the supernatural. We have a four-tape set on the supernatural and a book that goes with that that was actually written by Johanna Michelson, who is a medium. And she describes the miraculous things that she saw when she was a medium. And she thought they were of Jesus Christ, and they weren't. They were coming from the demonic side. The book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, and the four-tape, a four-CD set, The Supernatural, we recommend you very strongly. Of course, we have many other things going along this line. We have the book, The Satanic Crimes, and the four-set that goes into that, tying, of course, the Bilderbergers, this internationalist group of some of the wealthiest men and most powerful men in the world into these demonic forces. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. And, of course, we have the DVD that Alex Jones actually took in the Bohemian Grove and risked his life. And you'll see them in their black robes and their black hoods and their candles. Some of the most powerful men in the world today. There's a movie, Eyes Wide Shut, put out by Stanley Kubrick. And in the movie form, you'll see the people there with their black hoods and their black robes and their candles. And Stanley Kubrick died before that film was ever released for public consumption. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with powerful and very evil forces. Understand what this is about. There's a battle between God and Satan that's been going on. And you're going to have to decide which side you're on, because there is no middle ground here. And you're going to have to be either with God or you're going to have to be against him. And that decision will determine where you're going to spend eternity. And, of course, we do hope that you'll certainly go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, get the material that we have there, and hopefully will have an impact on your life and draw us closer, draw you closer to our Lord. We carry several wonderful books. One is The Hiding Place by Carrie Ten Boom, and another is 90 Minutes in Heaven, written by a minister who died and spent 90 minutes in heaven, and how his life after he came back, of course, and went through the terrible suffering of having to have his shattered body repaired, has impacted on so many other people's lives. We recommend both of those books to you. And again, our number 1-800-544-8927 and 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders, our ministers, but pray for my ministry, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.